I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. As heat waves make their way across the United States, a lot of people are taking shelter indoors. And that's putting a spotlight on indoor air quality and how it might be contributing to the spread of the coronavirus. According to the National Weather Service, heat is also the deadliest form of extreme weather, putting stress on hospitals and compounding the challenges in fighting COVID-19 and testing for the virus. To find out how, we spoke to Umair Irfan, staff writer at Vox, covering climate change and science. Earlier in the pandemic, some people were hoping that the warmer weather would actually help reduce the transmission of COVID-19. And here's what Umair told me about that.
Well, no, that has not really held up. We also got some pretty early indications that it wouldn't hold up because we saw outbreaks in warmer parts of the world. And now we're seeing that play out in the U.S. with some of the hottest parts of the country seeing the most severe outbreaks.
And there's parts of the country that are also experiencing heat waves. How has that made it more difficult to handle the pandemic right now, the extreme heat?
There's a number of different ways. One is that under extreme heat, people spend less time outdoors, more time indoors. And it's in those enclosed environments where COVID-19 has the greatest chance of transmission, particularly among households where you have people living in close proximity. Other factors include things like building surge capacity for hospitals. For instance, when they are dealing with potentially overwhelmed emergency rooms or ICU units, it becomes much harder to build things like outdoor clinics or temporary facilities when you have to do that in the heat. And then also you have to keep those facilities air conditioned.
We've been interviewing mayors from across the country where they are experiencing peaks in coronavirus cases. And one of those was in Phoenix, Arizona, where the mayor there told us that there were people who were waiting for hours in 100 plus degree temperature to get tested. Tell us about what those experiences have been like for folks in terms of access to testing.
Right. It's important to remember that heat on its own is a dangerous health threat. I mean, according to the National Weather Service, heat is the deadliest weather-related phenomenon in the United States. And Maricopa County, the area that encompasses Phoenix, they see roughly about 100 heat-related fatalities a year. So it's already an issue that they have to deal with on an ongoing basis. Now, coupled with the pandemic that's putting all these stresses on infrastructure, and then, as you noted, people waiting in line for things like testing, that bottleneck has compounded the risk of both COVID and heat, and together that is adding more stress to the healthcare system.
As we continue to learn about the coronavirus, there's new information about how it spreads, and there's some reports saying that coronavirus is airborne, particularly when indoors.
Right. Initially, scientists thought that the coronavirus would spread mainly via droplets, basically things that you spray out as you cough, and also from surfaces. But there's been increasing evidence showing that it can spread as an aerosol. And that's sort of a semantic difference. I mean, a droplet can become an aerosol if it's small enough. But there's an important technical difference for health workers because they take different kinds of health precautions when you're dealing with droplets versus aerosols. And with aerosols, they can linger in the air for hours. Some studies have shown that the virus can still be viable in an airborne aerosol up to 3 hours after it was emitted. What that means is that in an enclosed environment, you can actually still get infected if you go into an area that has stagnant air and has an infectious aerosol.
When we're talking about ventilation systems, what about the ones that people have in their homes? Air conditioning, for example, that isn't, high level air filter quality, but just what do we need to be thinking about?
Right. This is something that does require a bit of a technical fix, and that can be pretty costly and cost prohibitive, especially if you've cranked up the AC already. Running blowers at a higher speed or running air purifiers adds to your energy bill during the hottest part of the day. One thing to pay attention to is the air exchange rate, basically how much air is moving from inside your house to the outside. You want to get that as high as possible. You don't want to simply be recirculating stagnant air inside the house. Things like air purifiers with HEPA filters, those can do a good job of filtering out viruses. And then there's also ultraviolet germicidal sanitation systems that you can install on ventilation systems, but those are, very energy intensive and also very costly. So it will require a significant amount of investment for both households, businesses, and any place where people are going to be gathering in groups to improve the air quality.
What about air pollution? There are cities that are a little bit better at this and cities that are really bad at this, but there's pollution that's out there, and I can't imagine that that's not complicating things here.
Right. Air pollution has been known as now a pretty severe risk factor for COVID-19. Air pollution causes damage to airways, and COVID-19 is a respiratory virus. And so the likely mechanism here is that it takes advantage of that susceptibility. Now, even in hot places in the country where people are spending more time indoors, outdoor air pollution can quickly become indoor air pollution if the houses or the building is not very well insulated or the ventilation system isn't good. And during these periods of extreme heat, you see the greater formation of gases like ozone. Ozone is a major lung irritant, and it forms more readily on hot days. And so you see that sort of a synergistic effect here with both the air pollution and the disease.
Do we know whether or not the air quality issues that we've been talking about have an effect on low-income communities, communities of color, elderly?
Yes. I mean, unfortunately, the same social and, you know, systemic problems that affect minorities and other kinds of communities that are marginalized are at play here. When it comes to air pollution, we tend to find some of the most polluted communities are going to be communities of color and people with lower incomes. But that also holds true for indoor air as well. People who are less likely to have quality insulation to keep outdoor air out, or quality ventilation to keep the air inside the home fresh. Also, remember that running all these ventilation systems requires a lot of electricity, which in turn requires a lot of money. And, you know, a lot of homes that may be struggling with, you know, their own finances, particularly in a pandemic like this, may not have the resources, or may be trying to weigh the decision of whether to turn on the air conditioning or blowers versus, you know, keeping that off and trying to save money. So those are some difficult decisions, and they are going to be hitting the poorest the most, particularly communities of color, and also the elderly as well, because we know that they are facing higher risks from both the disease and also from heat-related illness.
What role does climate change play in all of this, Amir?
Well, over the long term, we do expect temperatures to rise, and the consequence of that is with heat waves, these periods of extreme heat, those will become more frequent and more intense. And so definitely what we're seeing right now is part of that trend. But the southwest of the U.S. is not the only part of the country that has to worry about heat waves. We're seeing also warmer weather creeping further and further north. And extreme heat in places that are far north can actually be more dangerous because they're not as accustomed to dealing with it. So a place like Seattle that may not have lots of households with air conditioning, a heat wave could have more devastating impacts, even if it doesn't reach as hot as Phoenix, because fewer people have the infrastructure to deal with it.
Umair Irfan is a staff writer at Vox covering climate change and science. Umair, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.